Father, I thank you as always. Again, the entrance of your word brings light, and then may that light shine our hearts today and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding, even as we look into the perfect law of liberty. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the subject of faith is one that is taught throughout the Bible. It's one that's also very dear to my heart. In fact, you know, I think I've spoken more on faith than any other subject that I've spoken on. You know, it's because it's that important. Even Jesus himself, he taught faith at so many times, in different times, so many different ways. And even in Luke chapter 18, when he was talking about men ought always to pray and all of that, there was one thing he said in verse 8 of Luke 18. He said, "And when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith upon the earth?" Now, he didn't, you know, it was faith he called out. It wasn't anything else. You know, he called out faith. I mean, that's how important it is. Now, he was on the subject of faith in that particular place. How we ought always to pray and not to give in, not to give up, not to be discouraged, even when the answer seems to be delayed. And he gave us, you know, a few stories here and there. You know, but at the end of it all, he summarized with, "And when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith in the earth?" Well, I like to put it this way. When we are believing God for something, whatever it might be that we're believing for, most times people get weary and turn away from their post of faith just when the answer is around the corner. So my take on it is, when the answer is just about getting to you, will you still be at the point of faith? That's how I interpret that verse. Now, so faith is a very important subject. As a matter of fact, the entire chapter of Hebrews 11 is devoted to what we call the heroes of faith and all the things that they did. But let's consider a few things here today. Well, you know, we did know too much about faith initially until we began to read and to hear about it. But we see that even a life of coming into Christ is based on faith. We cannot even be saved by faith, because faith comes by hearing, we're told in Romans chapter 10, and hearing by the word of God. We're also told that, you know, nobody can hear the word of God except there be preachers to preach it. Moreover, no one can preach unless they be sent. So if they are sent to preach and they preach and someone hears the word forms in their heart, they believe it with their heart, they confess it with their mouth, then they are saved. It's all based on faith. Also, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us the same thing. We cannot be saved except by faith. You know, so the subject of faith is so important. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You know, that is so important. We cannot be saved by ourselves. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This scripture was one of two scriptures that I learned early on when I first committed my life to Christ. Two scriptures. And then a few more in Romans about, you know, not letting sin dominate your life and so on. But this one was right there, along with 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, which was hammered into our heads back then that, look, if you are coming into Christ, you are a new creature. It can't be the same old way. You know, and then, but we were told that, look, it's not by works, it's by faith. So I learned this scripture very, very early on. But then I learned later on too that, well, you really can't please God except by faith. We see that that is, you know, spoken to us in Hebrews 11, and verse 6. We can't, you know, there's just no way for us to please the Lord without faith. There's a few things that the Bible says is impossible in connection to God. This is one of them. It's impossible to please God without faith. So we see how faith is so important. We cannot speak enough about faith. You may think, well, I've heard it a million times. Yes, you'll hear it a few more times too. Because, you know, it is that important. We just can't do without it. Now, there are some that have made shipwreck of their faith. I'm going to be talking about that today. And how a life of faith means. Also, what making shipwreck of faith means. You know, so let's consider this great book of Hebrews 11, where we have these heroes of faith and all the things that are said about them. By faith, this one did that. By faith, that one did that, and so on. Well, it starts out with God himself. You know, by faith, we understand, we are told, you know, that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. You know, so, I mean, God, now, faith is the evidence, it tells here, right here. You say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we don't see. That's faith. That's the way he described it. Now, God, you know, didn't exactly need to have faith because he knows the end of all things from even the beginning. I mean, if you had foreknowledge like God does, and you have perfect foreknowledge of everything, just like God does, then you can say whatever is supposed to be way in advance of of it being. You don't even have to use too much faith. Just say it because you already know that it's going to be that way. And you just say. It's kind of like, this is the way I explain it to little kids when I'm trying to teach them faith. I say, look, it's like you've watched a movie so many times that you know the next line every time you hear a line. You know what they're going to do next. You know what he's going to say. You know who's going to say what. Because you watched it so many times. And so when your friend is watching for the first time, you know, when someone begins to say something, you can complete the sentence because you already know what they're going to say. And when something is about to happen, you know exactly and you can say it. Well, that's kind of like God. You know, he doesn't need to watch it a million times. He's seen it once and that's enough. That's even plenty for God. You know, he has perfect knowledge and he doesn't need to learn anything. He knows everything all at once. God will never learn anything new. Otherwise, he will cease to be God. He is all-knowing. He knows everything all at once, from the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning. Any which way you call it out, he knows it all. Now, we don't have that kind of knowledge. In fact, our brains, our minds, even our spirit cannot handle that. You know, but God has given us faith instead. You know, he dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, by my faith, you know, in God, you know, I can use my faith the same way as God can use his foreknowledge. If you know how to walk it, God has foreknowledge, he can call it forth. Well, I don't have foreknowledge, but I have faith. So I can use my faith to call things that are not as though they are. God doesn't use faith to do that. He already knows what it is. He just says it. Because that's the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be. Well, I don't know that. But by faith, I can do the same thing. So faith is to us what foreknowledge is to God. Yeah, that's it. That's one punchline for today. You know, you can by faith approximate God's foreknowledge. And how does the Holy Spirit bring that? I mean, how does Jesus bring that to us in the form of the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is the life of faith that Jesus taught. He said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, John 16 and 13, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, you know, among many things, there's many places between John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, 14, 15, 16. There are many verses there where he begins to talk about what the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. One of my favorites is John 16 and 13. The Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, when he comes, what's he going to do? Well, there's a number of things that he will do. But I love this one, the way he puts it. He said, look, he will guide you into all truth. shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. But I love this part. He will show you things to come. Well, because the Holy Spirit already knows things to come. He will show it to you. So this is an element of us putting our faith in parallel with God's knowledge. When the Holy Spirit shows me something to come, I can align my faith with that thing. And guess what? You know, it's going to come to pass because the Holy Spirit already knows it and he showed it to me. So this is how, you know, I use faith in my prayers. Holy Spirit shows me, you know, that I'm already healed. You know, let's say I'm not healed right now. I'm sick right now. And the Holy Spirit shows me that I'm already healed. So he knows that I'm healed because he saw it. He shows it to me. I see it. I align myself with it. I, you know, and then boom, there you have it. Same thing when we pray for others. Holy Spirit by faith will show you that the man's coming out of that wheelchair. You already see it. Holy Spirit knows it. Holy Spirit doesn't need to use faith. He already knows it. Now, you didn't know it until he showed it to you. But when he showed it to you by faith, you unite under it in the cloud, under the cloud of faith and prayer. And boom, the next thing you happens, the man's healed. Because the Holy Spirit showed you things to come. Now, the way he shows us things to come is not always a long, drawn-out vision. Well, that's good if you have time for that. But sometimes he'll just show it to you. In a moment of time, in a twinkling of an eye, you can know many things in the space of 1 second or even a fraction of a second. That's the mind of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. He just show you something in a moment of time. You know, in fact, the devil will try to play the same trick on Jesus. Took him up into a mount and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, that's a vision. We don't think the devil doesn't give people vision. He gave Jesus a vision. Took him up in a high place, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, that's a vision. There's no other way that you can see it. But he passed before him all in a vision. You know, so the whole, you know, and you remember, devil is a counterfeiter. He doesn't have any originality himself. You know, so the Holy Spirit does the same thing. Can show in a moment of time, he can show you incredible things. You can see it in your mind's eye. But I don't want to talk about mind's eye today. I want to talk about the eye of faith. That's right. By the eye of faith, you can see what's coming. And it's a life. It's really a life of faith. If we don't walk in faith, then we're not walking with God. So today's lesson is on the aspect, still on the aspect of walking with God, but walking in faith. And not today you believe, tomorrow you don't believe. That's not faith. You know, we want steady, steadfast, unmovable, unyielding, uncommon, unusual faith that brings results. You know, I mean, you just stay right there with the word of God. You don't give an inch. You stay right there with it no matter what else is going on. You know, that's faith. You know, faith is our confidence in God's ability to do what he said he will do. There's many ways you can define faith. That's one way that I define it for myself. So, well, my faith. You know, when I was a young man, I'll tell you this. When I was a young man, I had so much faith that I thought it was my faith that was doing everything. I had faith in faith. Well, as I grew older, you know, my faith actually increased, but it wasn't faith in my faith anymore. It was faith in the Word of God. You know, once I realized that it wasn't because I had great faith. Well, great faith was good. Jesus loved great faith. But it was because I had faith in a great God. And I knew that, look, what he said he will do is what he will do. Once I figured that out, everything else fell into place. I mean, before I used to scare myself up to believe God for, you know, whatever I thought was unattainable. I just stare myself up. And it would, most of the time it worked. Because I actually did have tremendous faith. But later on in life, I still had tremendous faith, but I didn't have to stir myself up so much. I just had to find the word of God. You know, I just find the word of God. He said it. Well, done deal. You know, I trained my mind, conditioned my mind to the fact that, look, as long as I have that word of God, it's a done deal. That's what I teach when I teach my faith series on faith specs. Some of you have heard me say it. And it's based out of this same Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:13 is where the Lord revealed this to me many years ago. I think it's been 4 decades or so. And I got this revelation out of Hebrews 11:13. I found four keywords. I started to use it first. I used it for myself for years before I even began to speak it out. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:13, you know, you can read it with me. And that's where I came up with my faith specs. You know, the four elements there of how they see or how they saw something. You say, well, they didn't quite get to where they were going, but they saw the promise afar off. And they were persuaded. Then they embraced and then they confessed. So I took the S, the P, the E, and the C out of that. And I called it my faith specs. And if you've been on this platform for about a year or so, you've heard me speak on it more than two or three times. You know, but you can't, I cannot get away from that topic because that's the life of faith. Now, the way I want to bring faith today is this. I have to go back to my faith specs. You cannot have faith in faith itself. I used to do that. I learned better. You have faith in order for it to be valid, must be based on the word of God, not just on faith itself. I can't just believe anything I want to believe, you know, but I got to believe what God said. Now, said is important. So we see the S in C afar off. So first of all, when you are trying to have faith in God for anything, find a scripture, search the scriptures. That's the S. Find a promise. See, search and see a promise in the word of God for the thing. The P is to be persuaded. Well, you got to be persuaded. Hallelujah. The Bible says in, you know, Romans, Abraham, you know, did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. You know, in fact, he was persuaded that God is able to do, you know, what he promised. You know, so you can read that in Romans 4:20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised was able to perform. And God counted it to him for righteousness. So that's the P. The embrace is the E, is to embrace. Embrace the promise for yourself. That's a big difference. Those of you have heard me teach this before, and I'm saying for the benefit of those who are new, hearing it perhaps for the first time from me. It's a big difference between persuaded and embrace. Persuaded, just about everybody, every believer is persuaded, whether consciously or subconsciously, that God can do everything. All of us know that. There's nothing God cannot do. We know that. We've read in the Bible. We've heard it. We've seen it. We know it. But the embrace part is when it comes down to it, do you know that God's going to do it in this case for you? Embrace it for your situation. Now, we know that God's able to raise the dead. But if we lose a dead one, can we believe that in that moment for that particular miracle? Not that God's able to raise all dead. We know that. But is he going to raise your dead? You know, that's the thing. Just like Martha, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. She said, well, I know he will rise in the resurrection. So she was not embracing it for the moment. You know, she was persuaded that God's able to do all things. In fact, she said, look, I know you came late, but I know that even now, you know, God's able to do, give you anything you ask. That's persuaded. That's being persuaded. She was persuaded that Christ can do all things. But when it came to the moment of embracing it for the moment, she couldn't. She would ramble around, you know, when Jesus said one thing, she said another thing. Or Jesus said, your brother will rise in the resurrection. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. She said, yeah, I know my brother will rise in the resurrection. Jesus is talking about the moment. She's talking about some future thing because she cannot embrace it for the moment. As far as she's concerned, her brother is in the grave, dead 4 days, already stinking by now, she said. You know, but Jesus told her, look, I told you, if you would only believe, you will see the glory of God. You know, and if you study that in that conversation, you will see the difference between being persuaded and embracing. You know, she was perfectly persuaded that Christ is able to do anything because God always hears him. So, well, whatever you ask God, he will do it even now, even though you're late. I still know that, you know, whatever you ask, he will do it. But when it came right down to it, she really didn't embrace it for the moment. But, you know, the Lord was going to show the disciples something anyway. So he overrode on top of that, and he did what he was going to do. But she'd not embrace that for the moment. You know, she talked about everything else but the moment. So Christ had to call her back. I am the resurrection and the death. We're not talking about some future resurrection. I'm talking about right now. See, that's the problem. Many of us know that God has done great things in the past. He has even parted the Red Seas, called out all these great things, you know, and so forth. And God's going to do great things in the future. But right now, we will not embrace God for the moment. So that's the difference between being persuaded and embraced. So that's the difference. Now, the C is to confess, you know. Once you see the scripture, you persuade it, you embrace it for the particular situation, you then begin to confess it. Let me talk to you more a little bit about persuaded. You know, the best one, the best example I can give is the example of the friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced the penalty of death because they would not, you know, bow down to the music that Nebuchadnezzar played for his gods. And they stole, you know, and Nebuchadnezzar gave them one last chance because he, you know, he really liked the boys. And he said, look, I'll give you one last chance. But if you are in defiance, then I'm going to heat up this thing 7 times. And they told him, they said, look, O king, well, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. This is not a matter that we have to go and pray about and consider what we're going to say. Here's our answer. We will not bow. Here's what they said. They said, look, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Now, that's being persuaded. And he will deliver us. Now, that's embracing it for the moment. That's right. They were persuaded. That's non-negotiable in any situation. You got to be persuaded that God's able to do the thing that you want him to do. Then embrace it, that he will do it. Don't think that he did it for others. You read it in the Bible. You heard testimonies. What about you? Embrace it for yourself. And they embraced it. Now, these boys would not be, you know, they would not give in. They would not give up. You can hit it 10 times. It didn't matter to them. You know, and of course, you know, they pulled out something that's incredible. They were trailblazers. Never been done. Never been heard of. They walked out of that. They walked bound. They were thrown bound to the fire. They come out loose. They were walking around the fire, fellowshipping with the Lord, you know, praise the Lord. That's the way it is. That's faith in action. It's also called faith for crisis or fairy furnace faith. I mean, these ones, throw them in the fire, do whatever, throw lion in the valley in the lion's den, didn't matter to them. They lived a life of faith. Praise the Lord. So, now you got all the pieces, the S, the P, the E, and the C is to confess it. How do you confess it? You do the same thing. Like Abraham, you change your name from whatever Abraham meant to Abraham, which means father of nations, even though you don't have a child. So you are confessing it. Now, this is where sometimes we struggle. We just the same way as we struggle with the embrace. We struggle with, you know, we say we pray one thing, but with our mouth we say another thing, you know. So put your mouth where your faith is at, you know, or where your prayer is at. You know, that's real faith. You know, what you pray is what you should say, and it's how you should act. You know, if you're sick and you're on the bed, and the Holy Spirit shows you that you're well, then get up from the bed. That's why Jesus, you know, and the apostles, they used to do that. They'd say, take up your bed and walk. Or they just take the man by the hand and pull him up and expect him to walk. You know, you can't say you're healed and you stay in bed, you know. What's that all about? If you're healed, act like you're healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Speak the things. You know, so that's how you do it. You can apply it to all areas of life. You know, hey, you know, if you're single and you're looking to get married, start preparing to get married. You know, start getting ready. You know, start envisioning yourself down the aisle. Getting the wedding dress and all these things and doing it. You know, if you're married and you don't have a child, you want a child, start preparing the baby's room. That's how you confess. Or preparing babies, you know, plural if you want that, you know, just believe God. Start doing it. Whatever it is, you know, let's just start acting like it. That's a life of faith. Now, that's walking with God. Remember, it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. You can't please him. You know, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. But without faith. I mean, this man, the writer of this book of Hebrews, he laid down a good argument. First, he tells you that by faith, Enoch was translated, I should not see death. Next, he tells you, it is impossible to please God without faith. I mean, just listen to the way he says it. Let's read it again. Hebrews 11, he begins to tell you that you can't come to God unless you believe that God is, Now, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, well, let me read it from verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So first he tells us that he was translated, I shouldn't die. And he wasn't found because God had taken him. Next he tells us that, before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And after that, he tells us that, but you can't please God without faith. So he's making an argument for faith. Now that's a life of faith. That's walking in the faith. Now, that's every day. That's not only on Sundays. That's every day. That's everything that we have to do is faith. Wake up in the morning is faith. You go to bed is faith. You are in the school is faith. You are in the market is faith. Faith, faith, faith. That's the currency of your life in the kingdom. You just walk by faith. Now, according to the scriptures, in Hebrews 10 and 38 and Habakkuk 2 and 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. Now that's really where today's text comes from. I say all of that to say this, that your life shall be a life of faith. You find it in these two scriptures, Habakkuk 2 and 4. You also find Hebrews 10, 38 referring to it. The just shall live by faith. In fact, we are told that Martin Luther and so forth, broke away from all of the Catholicism and all the things they used to do. Because he finally realized that he just shall live by faith. So they were trying to do everything by works and penance and all of these things. And he realized that he just shall live by faith. Well, we're not talking about that. Well, that's part of it, but we're going beyond that. Faith is everything. Faith to be saved. Faith to live, even faith for translation. We cannot get out of here. We are believing God for the translation. Well, Enoch, it was by faith he did it. We're believing God that Jesus is coming again and all of these things, and we're going to translation or rapture, as some people call it. But you can't do it without faith. Jesus himself said, when it comes, shall he find faith? You can't do it. Everything is by faith. Everything. And here is the way that Jesus taught faith. And I've taught it this way also. I call it triple action faith. This is how we live. In him we live, move, and breathe. But this is it. Matthew 7, 7, and 8. Now what am I doing here today? I'm just bringing some simple things which we already knew, but calling it out because these are the core principles of faith. Now, Matthew 7, 7, and 8. What does it say? Ask. And you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, this is the way that Jesus defined faith, asking and receiving and things like that. But I call it triple action faith because of three actions here. Ask, seek, and knock. And those of you who know that I love to use acronyms and things like that, I use an acronym ASK here, which actually spells ask. But, you expand it out. A is for ask, S is for seek, K is for knock. And you put it together again, it spells ask. So it's triple action faith. It's like a wheel within a wheel. It's like a fire unfolding itself. It's right there. It's the same thing, but it's a prophetic thing explaining itself over and over again. So there are three things that you must do, three ways that you must pursue faith. You ask. Jesus said, you know, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, James said, well, you know, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. Well, but Jesus said, ask. So ask, you must do. Now, sometimes you ask, sometimes you seek, sometimes you knock. Do all three things. That's faith. You know, now, we don't ask for something that we don't expect to receive. Because Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. You know, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There are sometimes that it's, you're going to do some knocking. There are sometimes when you do some seeking. There are sometimes when you do some asking. There are sometimes you'll do two of the three or three of the three. You know, or one of the three. Whichever, whatever works, you do them all to get what you want. And here's how I put it in verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth not. This is either a misprint, which would be a big no-no for those of us who believe the word of God, or is something that's thrown out here to confuse us. You know, why does he say for everyone that asketh, receiveth? You know, I believe in 1974 or so, you know, the Lord gave me the revelation of this scripture. Because I was in Ferrell School of Science, it was around that year that I was there. So that's why I think it might have been that year. Once I figured it out, and I used to quote it all the time, during the time I was there, I said, for everyone that asks, I receive it. Everyone that asks, I receive it. And a lot of people were asking, I'm not receiving. But I was asking, I was receiving. Because I was just saying the word of God. You say the word of God. I said, Lord, you said everyone that asks, I receive it. So I ask, I receive. Some people are asking, they're not receiving. I said, well, maybe they're asking amiss. See, there's always an answer in the scriptures, you know, for everything. You know, but you can ask and receive. If you ask for bread, God's not going to give you stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask for egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. I mean, we who are evil, we don't even do that, Jesus said. So how much more your Father which is in heaven? You know, so that's why, again, when you ask, and you are specific. Don't just ask some, you know, random or generic prayer. Be specific. Don't ask for something. If you ask for something and the man gives you a stone, he was in his right. But he says something. So he gave you a stone. Now, if you ask for bread, on the other hand, he better not give you a stone. You know, so, ask and be specific. You know, and sometimes we pray prayers like, God bless me. What? Yeah, but what does he mean? He has always, already, even blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can quote that too. It's in the Bible. You know, so if he has already blessed us with all of that, then why are we still saying, God bless us? You know, so be specific in the blessing. Because you can read Ephesians 1 and 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's the end story. He's already done it in his mind. It's done. Remember, God didn't do anything or wouldn't do anything until he has finished it. So he's finished it. He's blessed us with everything. Now, it's yours for the taking and for the asking. So, that's the ask. What's the seek? Well, sometimes you got to seek. You know, look at it even in our natural daily lives. You're looking for a job. You know. How do you look for a job? Well, you got to apply. You got to do. You can't just stay in your house and be praying all day long that you have a job. You got to get out, you know, and go apply for some jobs. And go, you know. And then you got to go knock on a few doors. You look around. Maybe you check, you know, the notice boards or these days, you know, whatever the job boards and so on, you know, maybe you go, you know, see who's hiring and so forth. Maybe you see a notice somewhere. I mean, you got to do some things. You know, I've heard testimonies from some sisters, you know, how they walked into some place because they saw some notice, you know, and, you know, applying, got a job and so forth. You know, I mean, you got to do something, you know. So that's the seek and the knock. You can't just sit down and expect the job to come and fall down on your lap. You know, now, let's put it all through our walking with God. Our life is a complex life because we're a complex being. We got the spirit, we got the soul, we got the body. We got to do all these things. You know, so, but to walk with God is all triune, spirit, soul, and body must be in line with a life of faith. Faith in God's word. And we cannot separate our so-called religious or spiritual life from our secular life. That's not going to work. There should be no such thing. Whether it's just your natural secular life or it's your religious spiritual life, whatever you want to call it, you're walking with God by faith. When you're going on your job, you're by faith. You're going in your school, you're by faith. Where you are doing your enterprise, you're an entrepreneur, you're by faith. When you are in the ministry, it's by faith. Well, James put it this way. He said, look, you can tell me all day long that you have faith, but it may be just words. But show me something, you know, with that faith, then I'll know that you truly have faith. You know, so, and I love his argument. He said, look, what doth he profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and he have not works? You know, he said in James 2 and verse 14. So, faith without works is dead, being alone, he said. I mean, interesting chapter, the way he puts it. He said, look, if a brother or a sister comes to you being naked, and you tell him, go by faith and be filled, be warmed, be this and that. he said, what's that all about? You know, do something. Give the brother some food, give him some clothing or whatever. You know, don't just spiritualize everything. You know, and say, well, God bless you, be filled. Be filled how? Give him food. You know, this is what James is saying. You know, so, and then he said, look, you know, if you say you have faith, I might tell you I have works. But you show me your faith that has no works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I love this man's argument. You know, he's saying, look, you know, hey, you know, I heard this story, and I think I told you once on this platform. There was a parish where everybody, you know, they had no rain for a long time. And they were praying. They had this prayer meeting, praying for rain and everything. And they gathered the elders, called the congregation, gathered the young, gathered the old. You know, they did it like drill. Get everybody. It was a true story, actually. Get everybody, let's come for prayers. Well, they all came. They were going to pray for rain. And it was very specific. They were going to pray for rain because they had had a big drought. All their plants were drying. All the land was dry. The wells and everything were dry. And so they said, well, let's come and pray for rain. And everybody came for rain. And there was a little boy. There was one little boy that came with an umbrella. You know, I said, what are you doing with an umbrella for? We haven't seen any rain for a long time. I said, well, we're going to pray for rain, are we not? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's faith, you know, in action. Show me your works. Bring your umbrella when you are praying for rain. Because it is going to rain. You know, but only one boy, little boy, out of all of them, brought an umbrella. The rest of them didn't have any faith that it was going to rain. But they were praying for it. But this one boy, he knew it was going to rain. Because he knew in his heart that when the people prayed, it would rain. So he brought an umbrella. Now, that's how you see the demonstration of faith by works. Hallelujah. You know, he's praying for rain, so bring an umbrella. Because it is going to rain. Now, you know, so James began to argue this thing. He said, look, if you do not have any works to back up your faith, it's talk, and talk is cheap. Show me your faith by your works. And really, look, there is really no, I mean, God gives us grace, you know, according to some measure of faith. But look, you can practice that and improve it. Some of us have grace for this and that and so forth. Some people have faith in other areas. You know, I have learned over many years, you know, I can't say I have faith over everything yet. I'm still learning, because you always learn. But there are some things that, just because I've done it enough times, I now know just how to do it. You know, God's graced me with faith on many areas, you know, elements, weather, brain, and all those stuff mean anything to me at all. You know, I just believe it. You know, and it works. I mean, you can begin to practice your faith. Now, that's a life of faith. every day you speak faith, you know, and be a life of faith will also be sensitive to any negativity. Don't say any negative thing, because a man, according to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, you are ensnared by your words. So don't say any negative thing. Just say only positive things. I mean, don't say things like, I feel like I'm coming down with some illness. Don't say things like that. What would you say that for? You know, when the Bible says that I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. You know, be positive, you know, and so on. You know, be positive and speak positive, you know, faith, but demonstrate it too. Hallelujah. Demonstrate your faith by your works. It's really simple. It's not as complicated as we think, but it gets better as you practice it. Now, if we want to go into translation, I'm going to give you a scripture today to think about. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Let's think about that for a minute. If you cannot believe for small things, how are you going to believe for even greater things? So think about Jeremiah 12 and 5. And what does he say? He said, well, if you run against footmen and you are weary, how are you going to contend with horses? I mean, you are in a foot race with somebody who's on foot like you, and you lose. They beat you flat. How in the world are you going to contend when they're on horses and you are still on foot? Can't do it, you know. And if in the land of peace, wherein you trust, I mean, when things are cool, you can't even have faith for victory. How are you going to do it when all hell breaks loose, is what he's saying, in the overswelling of Jordan. You know, so that means that a life of faith is you win every time. Not win some, lose some. You win. You don't go in with the attitude of win some, lose some. What's that all about? Win every time. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. You know, you win every time. Every single time you win. Now, you say, well, you know, that's easier said than done. Well, that's true. But you go in with the hope and the trust and the faith of winning every time. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Now, that's always. That means every time. Not win some, lose some. Every time. You win. Every time. I remember when I started to come into faith as a young man, and I started to realize that I can actually believe God for everything. I started actually to believe in myself as well. You know, I started to believe that, look, I can do all things. You know, I can do anything. You know, I started to believe it. And I realized, you know, and then I got into sports, you know, and people used to tell me then that, well, you know, I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun to play. And I said, well, I don't know about playing if I'm going to lose. To me, I thought it was more fun to win. I always wanted to win. I never wanted to be on a losing team. You know, I mean, you know, I played a lot of team sports. Sometimes my teams were good and we won. Sometimes my teams were not so good and we lost. But I knew I was better than the team, so, you know, but we were not doing as well as we could. So I went into track and field and I tried to go solo and do some things on my own. Because I don't want to lose some, win some. I want to win all the time. Praise God. And that was when I was a young man, you know. I don't think like that anymore because it's now second nature, kind of. But, you know, that's how I grew up. I just grew up believing that, look, why should I lose? I mean, why should I play to lose just because, you know, just to play is fun? I'm like, no, it's more fun when you win, you know. So win every time. Win the little things. Win against the headache. Win against the stomachache. Win against the whatever thing is coming. Then you have faith for the greater things, you know. The day that the diabetes and the high blood pressure and the other crazy things show up, you have faith. But if you don't have faith, you know, for the little headache, how are you going to have faith for the greater things? And if you don't have faith for these other things, how are you going to have faith for the translation, ladies and gentlemen? everybody's talking about, a lot of people, not everybody, a lot, correct myself there. A lot of people are talking about the Lord is coming, going to translation. But if you don't have faith for the simple daily things, that's what Jeremiah 12:5 is saying. You can't, win against these little things. How are you going to win the big things? I mean, if you want to do high jump, you can't leap over 4 feet. the bar is 4 feet. How are you going to leap when they leap it, when they raise it to 8 foot? How are you going to jump over a 25-story building? So you get the point. You win the little things, and then you win some more. And that's a life of faith. A life of faith never gives in. A life of faith never gives up. A life of faith is resilient. And then, it's like, look, you're always there. Sometimes you get knocked down. Doesn't mean that just because you think you're going to win everything, that you're always going to win everything. But it's a good posture to have, And that means when they knock you down, you see yourself as a winner. So you get up. Now, if you don't see yourself as a loser and they knock you down, then you are liable to give up. And the corner on the other side tells you, stay down. And your corner over here with the Holy Ghost tells you, get up. So are you going to get up or are you going to stay down? Well, let's see. There was a few folks in the Bible that knew this life of faith. Now, let's cover three of them quickly and then we'll wrap it up. Here's how, Micah put it. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. And then he says the reason why he's not going to let his enemy get the last laugh over him. He said, look, when I fall, I shall arise. That means I will not stay down for the count. Now, that's a winner in my books. That's a man that has the life of faith. He can fall, but he's not going to stay down for the count. Now, on the other side of the ring, across the ring, the other folks are saying, stay down. And then on your corner, they say, get up. Now what's going to be? Are you going to stay down or are you going to get up? Now the life of faith says, well, I've been knocked down, but I'm getting up and I'm not going to stay down. That's a life of faith. That's walking with God. Hallelujah. Now, when I sit in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. What does that mean? Well, there are days when the voice of God is so clear and you can hear God and you have fellowship and point blank, crystal clear, and he tells you and you hear it and you rejoice and you praise the Lord. And that's in the light. Then there are days when his voice seems like it's nowhere. You can't hear from God. The heavens are brass. Nothing is happening. You cry to God. He's not hearing, it seems. There's no answer coming from anywhere. That's when you sit in darkness. But this man said, look, even when it looks like I'm sitting in darkness, I'm going to remember what he told me when I was in the light. Hallelujah. Because when I was once in the light, and here's the thing too, I want to tell you this. Remember what he told you when you were in the light. In the days when you are in darkness, it seems as if his voice is nowhere, then remember what he told you when you are in the light. That's why Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to you your remembrance. And this man said, look, the Lord will be a light to me nonetheless. I'm not going to walk in darkness. The Lord will be a light unto me. How did Habakkuk put it? Habakkuk 3:17. He was also a winner. He would win in any circumstance and through any situation. Bankruptcy or otherwise, didn't matter to him. He's going to have the victory one way or another. And he said, look, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. And all the fields shall... Look, and I can tell you things, that you come, you live in America and do all these things and so forth. You come to a place like Africa or Ibadan or some remote place and things are not going just right. Well, you can pull out this scripture and say, well, although the fig tree does not blossom, although there may be no electricity or no this or no that, the roads may be this or that, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now, that's a winner. That's a winner in my books. You're not going to let some circumstance just dampen you or dampen your enthusiasm or your faith. Hallelujah. A winner is walking with God in a life of faith. He said, look, I don't care whether the fields are yielding anything. I don't care whether there is NEPA or electricity or whatever you guys call it. I don't care what's going on. I don't care whether it looks like I'm bankrupt. This man, labor of olive field, fields yield no meat, flocks are cut off from the fold, there is no herd in the store. He lost everything, like Job did. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now, that's a man of faith, you know, and I will joy in the God of my salvation, because the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind feet, and I will walk upon my high places. You know, I'm not going to give an inch. The devil will do anything he wants, but as far as I'm concerned, when he comes up against me to eat up my flesh, he will stumble and fall. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm a winner. You know, are you a winner? Well, if you're a winner, you have a life of faith. Well, let's see how, Paul puts it. Now, Paul had some amazing testimonies. You know, and many times we quote the some of the testimonies of Paul, you know, but I like to say to you, well, that was Paul's testimony, but what about you? Is it your testimony? Well, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's see some of the things that Paul said. You know, how, I mean, he was also a person that walked a life of faith, and he would not, you know, it didn't matter. One time he said, look, we are like the offscouring of the earth. You know, all these things happen to us and so forth. We apostles especially. But look, these things don't move me. I don't care if they're waiting for me in Jerusalem to kill me or anything. I'm going anyway. You know, he said, we are troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, but we are not distressed. Now, this is a life of faith. This is walking with God. We are perplexed, you know, I mean, it looks like, look, you know, you just don't sometimes know where to go or turn, but, you know, we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And he's always got a, you know, an angle to be positive out of whatever negative thing is going on. I may be cast down like Micah, but I'm not destroyed. I'm not staying down for the count. And here is the walking with God. Always bearing about in the body. Hallelujah. I'm walking with the body. I've got the mark of the blood of Jesus, the mark of Christ on me. Let nobody trouble me henceforth. And he'll say all these things. You know, he's always walking with God. I've learned how to be abound and abase, be hungry, be full, be this, be that. That's a life of faith. That's walking with God. You know, now, walking with God in a life of faith doesn't mean that everything is always going to be rosy. It most certainly doesn't mean you are going to win everything. Even though I said go in with the attitude of winning. Well, you know, but don't go in with the attitude of win some, lose some. It's kind of like when you pray, you say, well, if God heals me, fine. If God doesn't heal me, fine. Well, then you're not going to get healed. That's not the way. You go in and say, Lord, I'm not turning loose until you heal me. That's right. You know, it's like the woman that said, you can call me a dog, you can call me anything, but I'm staying right here. Even if it's the crumbs, I'm going to get it. And the Lord said, wow, my goodness. The Lord said, that's great faith. That's right. You know, but if you go in and say, well, I mean, some people pray and say, well, if it's the Lord's will. Don't even pray that kind of prayer. I tell people when I teach on faith, don't pray that kind of prayer that says, if it's be the Lord's will, the Lord will heal me. Find out what his will is, and then pray according to his will. If you don't know his will, don't pray. Just go search the scriptures first. You know, search the scriptures, that's your S. And when you find it, then walk the rest of the acronym, the specs. You know, but don't be saying, well, maybe it's a life, maybe it's God's will, maybe not. I mean, look, it is always God's will. Always God's will to heal you. Always God's will to deliver you. Always God's will that you be above and not beneath. Now, are you always going to be above and not beneath? Maybe not. But it is God's will for you to be above. And then you have to walk. That's a life of faith, is walking in the will of God. Knowing what God said about you and exercising your walk with God in line with what he says about you. Now, that's a walk of faith. Now, let me wrap it up here because of time. I want to keep it to 1 hour. The point is, the summary of what I've said today is this. Walking with God, we dealt with walking with God. It's a life in the spirit the other day. And I said, well, walking with God is also a life of faith. It's also a life of walking in love. It's a life of this and that. So I'm covering different aspects. Today, this is one of my favorite topics. I can talk on this for 10 hours when we talk on faith. But I'm only going to talk about it for an hour today. So this is the sum of the thing that we have said so far. We cannot please God without faith. However, when you have tremendous faith, it actually does please God. Jesus was never impressed when the disciples demonstrated little faith. In fact, he chided them or rebuked them, said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But every time he found great faith, he was impressed. Like he said, "Wow, I've never seen so great faith not in all Israel." When one man said, "Look, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word only." Because I myself, I'm somebody that knows how to give command. I give a command, somebody does it. When I tell them, they do it. Because I'm their master and they are under me. And he said, "Wow." So this man used the situation to understand how things worked. You know, say, "Well, if it works like this in the natural, I'm sure it works like that in the spirit. You know, I know how to command. You are his commander in the spirit. You say the word and it will be done." And Jesus said, "My goodness, I've never seen any, you know, faith like this. No, not in all Israel." So he was impressed when he saw great faith. The Syrophoenician woman, Jesus was impressed. But he wasn't too impressed with the disciples when they couldn't handle a little storm. You know, so Jesus loves faith. And in fact, he loves tremendous faith. And he loves great faith. So what we're saying today is this: walk in faith. Because the just shall live by faith. The just actually shall live by his faith. You know, so walk in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, if you want to please him, we're told in Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, that all things were created for him and for his pleasure. Well, if you want to please him, then walk a life of faith. And when you're walking a life of faith, then you are pleasing to the Lord. And that's our lesson for today. A life of faith in which you don't give up, you bounce back no matter what. You don't stay down for the count. You keep your head up. You consider yourself a winner no matter what. And you maintain a positive attitude. You find the good things that God has said about yourself, about you in the Word of God. You persuade yourself that God is not a liar and he's not a man that he should repent. And you embrace those things for your particular situation, and you begin to confess the same. And you walk with God every day, today, tomorrow, the next day. As long as it is called today, you are walking in faith with the Lord. And as you do it, you're walking towards the translation as well. You practice faith every day. Well, you know, it's by faith also that just the same. Look, by faith we are saved. By faith we'll be translated. By faith is everything. You know, so that's our lesson of faith today. I am going to pray for us over the room today. Remember, that many things that devil tries to steal from us, our joy, our faith, you know, our resilience and stuff like that. You know, but don't let the devil steal your faith or your joy or your peace and many of the things, you know, that are part of the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord gives us. These things are faith, joy, peace. They're all part of the fruit of the Spirit. But the devil tries to steal them. You know, walking with God is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the joy, the faith, the peace, the long-suffering, the meekness, and all of these patience and so forth are all part of that fruit. Today was on faith. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson of faith. May we learn to walk in faith every day. Yes, walk by faith, and walk in faith, for the just shall live by his faith. Thank you for the word of God that brings us faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you for the element of faith, because you have given unto us a measure, every one of us, a measure of faith, which is by which we are saved. And we grow this faith by acting upon your word. Now may the Lord bless everyone, bless his word and his exhortation in our hearts today, admonishing us as we see the days approaching to remember, you know, remember the things which are most assuredly believed among us, which is faith. That in action is believing. God bless everyone. That's my lesson I might share with you today. Good afternoon from Ibadan, Nigeria. And I yield the mic. Praise the Lord.